Find your seats. Thank you. I was talking with Jeannie during our few minutes of fellowship there. It's nice to see our families are back present with us. You know, the Millers were out for a while, and, you know, all the families present today and some new people that have been coming and, you know, some smaller children. Again, those are just signs of new life, and with the new year upon us, it's encouraging to see that. So we pray that keeps moving forward in that direction here at SBC. Let's pray, and Elder Jim read the verse, the passage, I should say, this morning. So after we pray, we'll just get right into the sermon for today called A Transformative Prayer. Heavenly Father, as we seek to know you better in 2026, we know that this happens largely through prayer. We have your word, Lord, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Gives us wisdom and knowledge and understanding of you as well. Well, we have prayer, Lord. We have the heat, sort of speak, really understanding the person of Christ, understanding the Holy Trinity of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And as the Apostle Paul spoke of so many centuries ago, about this prayer that just was a heart cry, Lord, we pray that we would be able to understand and relate, that you would open up the eyes of our understanding today here. We ask this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, and all of the SBC family together said amen. And this morning, the Apostle Paul, who was responsible for this letter and as far as the human conduit, he will move from the vertical sovereign doxology, which we read and learned of last week in chapter 1, to a prayer and love that came from that for the people. A prayer that has challenged me personally in how I pray for my children, for this church family in general. You cannot mistake the depth of the heart cry in this transformative prayer for the church at Ephesus. For those who are the saints, as Paul referred to them last week, the faithful in Christ Jesus. So this morning I echo the words of the disciples in which they asked Jesus Christ, teach us to pray. With that being said, if we will pick up in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 14, and perhaps last week I should have finished with verse 14, but just to pick up there, the Word of God says in verse 14 of chapter 1, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Now that's referring to the seal and the promise of the Holy Spirit until the redemption of the purchased possession. That is you. Unto the praise of his glory. Then verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, in love unto all the saints. Jim actually referenced this in his prayer after reading the passage, heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints. True faith, true saving faith, loves the family of God. As the Apostle Paul referred to the Galatians, said, do good especially to those of the household of faith. True saving faith is going to love the people of God. And they're going to love people in general. Certainly they're going to have a great love for those that are Christ followers. Listen to the Word of God as it says, if a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. No such thing as someone saying this, and maybe you've heard this before, oh, I'm good with God, but not Christians. That just doesn't work. That would not be true saving faith, and I pray that's not you today, but if it is, and your heart has just jumped, or you convicted because you're a person that happened to say what I just read, repent. Examine your heart. The evidence of a true follower of Christ is a love for people. not just Christians, because that's easy to do. As Jesus said, we all love our own. Even the publicans love the publicans. The tax collectors love the tax collectors. But to love even your enemies, just to love people, image bearers of Christ, is a mark, a true mark of someone who knows Jesus Christ and has true faith. Verse 16, the apostle says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. The church at Ephesus during this time, 60 roughly to 63 AD, had developed a reputation. We'll hear about that momentarily and what people were saying about the church. But here's the first couple prayer points, then there's five transformative prayer points I want to really focus in on here shortly when we go further in the text. But cease not to pray for you. Well, how can you do that? You can be listening all the time. Can't be always speaking, although some people, they can speak quite a bit. But you can be listening all the time. When someone comes to mind, what should you do? Pray. Pray for them. When they come to mind, pray. A strong, reoccurring thought of the person, pray for them. And then Paul says, I make mention of you. Well, make mention of them. Pray always by listening. Be responsive to the unction, the nudge, the thought that keeps reoccurring to you. That's God's way of trying to get your attention. He says in verse 17, as he gets into this prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And before we delve further into that prayer, I just want to talk to you briefly about hearing things. You know, people are going to hear things about SBC. Maybe they already have. Maybe that's how you've come to be here today. You've heard about Spencerport Bible Church. The Proverbs say this, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. That's Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. It's always concerning to me when you never hear of a local church, when you never hear of them, and you have to ask some questions. Why is that? Could it be no impact outside the building? Could it be no desire to reach the lost? Could it be that they've become incubated and isolated? Could it be that they've developed blinkers? Blinkers are something horses put on so they just see straight ahead. They don't see on the sides of them. And I pray that's not the case. And I believe that this church, this local church, Spencerport Bible Church, is starting to develop a reputation, a good one, at least the things that I hear. But make no doubt about it, you will hear things about individuals. You will hear things about churches, sometimes true, sometimes not. But certainly, there's a reputation that's being built. And for this church in Ephesus, it was a great one. It was a great one. Paul said, I'm hearing about the faith you have. I'm hearing about the love you have for the saints. And then he gets into this deep, transformative prayer for the people of Ephesus and for the church in general. I said last week, this is more of a circular letter. It's intended for the universal, the entirety of the body of Christ more than anything else. And I'll read the verse again, but just listen to the richness and the depth of these words. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit manifests himself in the life of believer in specific ways. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 says, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. There's one. The spirit of wisdom, two. And understanding, three. The spirit of counsel, four. And might, five. The spirit of knowledge, six. And of the fear of the Lord, seven. And as you continue to read on, listen to what the apostle says. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the riches, or what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now this is completely vertical prayer. Where is the apostle? Keep in mind he's writing this from prison. Not Monroe County Jail, not Alcatraz even. Probably a much harsher conditions of those times. But this is where he's writing this completely vertical prayer. I mean, just listen to some of the things he said. Paul prays that the Ephesians, that the church would have the spirit of wisdom, that God would give revelation and knowledge in him, that God would reveal himself to them in ways in which their very core are enlightened, that you would know the hope of his calling. You cannot have that based on works or efforts of your own. The riches of his glory and the inheritance in the saints, these are all rich, vertical prayers. And I had to stop and I had to think about these things, and personally, it challenges me as I continue to read on how I pray for people. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us toward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought or worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places? Listen to this, far above what or who, all principality. This is the spirit realm, and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that is in the world to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things. To who? The church. He is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. No man. Which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Fills everything in every way. That's what that means. Fills everything in every way, the great I am, like he was referred to, like he called himself in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. Now I want to focus in on five transformative prayer points from the text that was just read. What can we get from this? Point number one, we need times of deep, heartfelt, spirit-led, spirit-groaning prayer. The Word of God says the effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. Easier version. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Romans 8:26, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Heartfelt, deep, spirit-led, spirit groanings. I mean, popcorn prayers are acceptable, but you can't survive on popcorn. And what do I mean by popcorn prayer? Well, it's kind of like this, share prayer, popcorn prayer. You know, kernels pop up, and we all take a turn, and we say something, but you can't survive on that. You can't get a spirit of wisdom and revelation of God through popcorn prayer or share prayer. It's acceptable. There's a time for it. I mean, we pray. We've started popcorn prayer back there. Why? We only have so much time. God honors it. It's not always the length of the prayer. But there needs to be prayer like the Apostle Paul is praying right now for the church of Ephesians. That's when the heart of God really moves. That's when God's hand really moves. Point number two. Should be praying that people would know God better. Praying that people that we're praying for would know God better. That's verses 17 and 18. Have a better understanding of him. His plan, his wisdom and understanding would be given unto them. If we're honest, we probably pray more like a wish list or request, at least sometimes, which is acceptable. But maybe we should pray more vertically like the Apostle Paul was. God, give so-and-so the spirit of wisdom in their trial that they may know you deeper, fuller through this. Revelation in the knowledge of you, an understanding of who you are. Maybe for those people in that car accident, we should be praying, giving it all to Christ vertically. But praying in a way not that's just led by us, but led by the Spirit of God. That's the best prayers. Point number three, pray Scripture. You know, something that, again, Roman Catholicism would call the Lord's Prayer. When I worked in the Catholic schools as a born-again child of God, I would do this. How could I bridge the gap? And God would give me the spirit of wisdom. And I would start off saying what they call the Lord's Prayer. Why? It's Scripture. It's Scripture. The Lord's Prayer is Scripture. It's the words of Jesus. So I would start off praying the Lord's Prayer, and then after the Lord's Prayer, I would just pray Holy Spirit-led prayer. But when you pray Scripture, you're praying. When you speak Scripture out loud, you're praying. When you verbally express and vocalize Scripture, you are communicating to and with God. There's power in the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And how should we read Scripture? Here's how we should really read Scripture when we're praying it, because we're reading it out loud or we're just reading. We should be reading it slowly, clearly, and if we decide to pray, out loud. Scripture, there's power in the Word of God. Changes people's hearts. It changes people's lives. You say, well, we want to know God's will. God's Word is God's will. I've kind of developed a phrase here for this church. God's Word does God's work God's way. God's Word does God's work God's way. You can pray the Word of God out loud. Because some people say this, well, I don't know what to pray. Okay, so open up the Bible. Pick a passage of Scripture and start speaking it out loud. How? Slowly and clearly. There's power in the Word of God. You say, how do you know that? It's anointed by the Spirit of God. Men of God moved by the Holy Spirit. That's how these Scriptures were written. Because the question is often, well, man made this book. And you should agree with that when people say that. They did. But the difference was they were men moved of the Holy Spirit, inspired of the Holy Spirit. Just keep that in mind when you're speaking to somebody who's trying to come against the truth. You know, we had a conversation. We had a conversation with a couple young Mormon girls, my wife and I, this week. Really good conversation. And I asked them a question. You have two books here. You have the Holy Bible. You have the Pearl of Great Price. Which one are you going to pick? Guess which one they picked, the Pearl of Great Price. Wrong book. And they didn't have the Bible on them, but they had the Pearl of Great Price. And they said, hey, can we read something to you? I said, yeah. Opened it up. Now, Alma, this is no offense to you. They read from the Book of Alma. First of all, I didn't even know that that was in the Book of Mormon. I'll just tell you the truth. But it sounded a lot like Isaiah, and I told him that. I said, you know, Satan's just he's an imitator. There's only one book. There's only one Holy Spirit-inspired book. And from what I understand, sales of this book, even so many centuries after, continues to go up. Why? Because people are in their personal prisons, and that's when they start to pray. Not popcorn prayers. Deep, heartfelt cries unto God. When somebody is on their deathbed, when somebody is really injured, when you are in a real deep trial, you'll pray more than a popcorn kernel. You will pray from the depths of your heart, and that's why God often puts us in our personal prisons. Paul recognized that. He recognized it, and we need to recognize it as well. Point number four, magnify and exalt God in prayer. That's verses 19 to 22. Far above, the Apostle Paul says. Far above, the name above every name. The Most High God. Jehovah Jireh, it's the Lord our provider. All rule, all things, Him who fills all in all. When you pray, place God in His proper position. At the top. How close to you? Far above all. Far above you. Far above all principality and dominion, far above it all. He's the creator of all things. He's the great I am. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the great I am. I am that I am. Go and tell Pharaoh, that's my name. I am that I am. Let's place God in His proper place. Point number five, let the Holy Spirit pray in and through you. Let the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, pray in and through you countless times in prayer. Countless. With others. They pray what I was thinking. Happens here every time I go to, almost every time I go to prayer here. On Mondays, the first Monday of the month. Morning or evening. Happens here. They will pray what I was thinking. And the person prays the thought I just had. The person I was just going to pray for. That's the Holy Spirit giving you the same mind
Remember the Apostle Paul says you'd be of the same mind and the same heart. That was his prayer later on in Ephesians 4, that you would be of one accord, same heart, same mind. And you're thinking of something. You're saying, Lord, should I say it? And all of a sudden, Al says it. Or all of a sudden, this person says it. And that's the Holy Spirit. See, we think of prayer. Prayer is not necessarily influenced by volume, right? Because as a pastor, preacher, teacher, I'm louder. But it's not the volume that totally is about fervency. God hears the cry of your heart. A lot of times volume is just cultural or it's the person's personality. It's okay, you can pray loud. But God hears your heart, you can pray soft. As hard as I try, I can't get to Jim's volume when I speak. And you know what? Jim can't get to mine because that's not who he is and that's not who I am. God's made us individuals. So a lot of times your personality will come out in prayer, and that's okay. I like the people that are exuberant. It inspires me. But I can't classify that as this is Holy Spirit-led prayer, and the person who's more stoic and quiet is not. That's not true. The body of Christ is diverse. It's different. And our personalities come out. God made us differently. When we gather, when we pray, God is not impressed or moved by the eloquency of our speech, the length, the volume of our prayer, but the posture and position of our heart when we pray. I mean, listen to some of these prayers. These are some of the most powerful, I think, prayers in Scripture. And listen to how short they are. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I mean, Jesus talked about that. When he was talking about the tax collector, the publican that went up to the temple and prayed, he just beat his chest. He said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I could feel the power in that when I read it. I can sense it. Not a long prayer. Just the man that was broken said, I don't deserve even to pray unto you. Have mercy. And God, he said, that man went down justified. Not the man with the long, elegant prayer. He was praying to himself. How about this one? Remember me. Remember me, O God. Who was that? Nehemiah? In the building of the wall? Remember me. Please, God. I did what you called me to do. I went by faith. We did what was impossible through prayer. 52 days. The wall was rebuilt in spite of opposition, in spite of obstacles, in spite of doubt and confusion. Remember me, O God. The most powerful prayers I have ever heard or ever been around were not loud in sound, but rather in spirit. How about these prayers? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is finished. 7 statements on the cross that were all short, but still all powerful as well, because they were spoken of by the Son of God as he was preparing for his spirit to depart, for him to pass, and then be buried and rise again. Powerful, powerful prayers. God desires that you and I pray transformatively for others and for ourselves. You pray big to a big God. You pray big. See, and I've been guilty of this, and perhaps you have too. How about, God, would you just give me a few dollars to survive? See, this is not the prosperity gospel, but God wants you to prosper. He says so in his word. Good health and prosperity, not in the way that the wolves are saying it, not in the way that the false teachers and prophets do it, where they try to bleed your wallet and your bank account and force giving onto you. No, but he wants you to pray as a good father who gives good gifts. Let me pray for a little. We underestimate the power and the size of God, who is above all. You want a job? Certain job? Be specific in prayer. Don't just say, God, give me a job. What job do you want? Be specific in prayer. Be specific with God in your prayers. See, God changes people how? Through prayer. He changes people through prayer. He changes you and I through prayer. And you know some things that I've learned in my time. people of prayer, to me, this is just to me, personal observation and experience. People of prayer, to me, are usually marked in their quiet, peaceful nature. Why? They pray. They don't go around advertising that they pray all the time, by the way, you know? Whenever people tell me they're a prayer warrior, I'm like, not sure you are, because you wouldn't have to tell me that. No, these people, they have a peace upon them. Why? The peace of God, the presence of God, like a dove, is with them. They have a surety in the spite, even when things are difficult. There's just this confidence, not a fleshly, earthly confidence, but a confidence in the Almighty God. These are people that cry out to God. These are people that know God better through prayer. And it's important. It's so important. Now, I don't stand up here claiming to be a giant of prayer. My prayer life is continuously worked upon in many ways. And there's different times of prayer. There's personal prayer. There's corporate prayer. There's praying with your spouse. There's family prayer. And can I just tell you, when I sit down and I pray with my family, we don't have an hour of prayer like here at SBC. You might have 5 minutes of prayer, 10 minutes of prayer. Okay? So you need to understand who you're praying with, what you're praying about. But we can all grow. We can all grow in the spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding of God. And here's the other thing you have to do. Sometimes, this has been so good for me, personally. My wife knows this now. At 9 a.m., my phone goes off. My phone is not on right now. So if you've called and you think I'm being rude to you, my phone is off. And it will stay off till probably 1 or 1:30. And I've discovered this great liberty in that. See, because we're so addicted to phones, like we're going to miss a buzz or a text. And it's just bad for prayer. It's not good for prayer. And I've realized this. If I'm driving and I have a lot of drive time, which often I do, I'm going to have to turn the radio off. Sometimes I just hit the radio, just turn, and just have silence so I can listen. And maybe I can verbalize prayer out loud. But you're going to have to find quiet and stillness in a crazy, chaotic community and world. You're going to have to do that if you really want to start to understand who God is. You're going to have to be listening. You're going to have to start to be responsive to those nudges that He gives to you, to call someone or to text someone or to go someplace, even sometimes when it doesn't make sense. Pray always without ceasing. Always without ceasing, 24/7. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up as we prepare to close. This really occurred to me this week. Something really occurred to me. That Paul's deepest, most heartfelt prayers came from prison. They came from prison. Listen to this. This is Philippians, another prison letter. Listen to what he says. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." That's all vertical. He's in prison. He's in prison. And he's praying for the church at Philippi. What is he praying? More knowledge, more love, sincerity without offense till the day of Christ. So, as I mentioned, we, like Paul, often need to be in a helpless and difficult position to pray like that. To pray deep, to pray like our life literally depends on it. Why do you think he places us in personal prisons? To know him better, to confess our faults, our sin, to be transformed through our prayers and communion with him. We have 24/7, 365 days a year access to the Almighty God. Just a couple more points. Prayer works. Prayer moves the heart of God. Prayer moves the hand of God. Prayer transforms. Someone said this to me. I don't know who it was this week. But it's somebody who was transformed by somebody else's prayer. They said, "Never underestimate the power of a praying parent.
Never underestimate the power of a praying parent. They know that the prayers of their parent or parents made a difference in their life. Let me tell you this. Don't undervalue that grandparent, that aunt, that uncle that prayed without ceasing for you. Don't undervalue those people. I'll end with this. This is the real ending. Okay? It's the real ending. I haven't said this one in a while. But this morning, my last moments of preparation, I was reminded. I was reminded. 40 years ago, I'd go to Boston. Every summer. And I had a great aunt there. Cars Yolinda. I just remember times accidentally I'd open the door and she'd be on her knees praying, this older woman, right? Broken English, just praying. Never forget that. And I think maybe this morning God was reminding me that those prayers 40 years ago had an impact on my life. And there's somebody who probably prayed like that for you. See, we have this attitude of, well, at least we can pray. That's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong attitude. That's like saying to somebody, hey, at least you're my dad. No, far above all principality, far above everything named in heaven and in earth, you have access to this God. You've heard this. Push. Push. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. You remember the parable Jesus said there was this widow, she kept knocking, and the judge didn't believe in God, but because she kept pushing and kept knocking and wearing the judge, he said, I'm going to answer that request. God wants you to keep pushing in prayer and believing in prayer, because I'm going to tell you this right away, you can label me whatever you want. God still works miracles today. That man that maybe could lose his brain capacity, God could just say, rise, and he can rise. Whatever injury, whatever trial, pray like you're in prison. Pray like you believe God can transform your life and the people you're praying for. And I promise you, He will. He will. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the opportunity. I pray for the opportunity to speak your word, to preach and teach, Lord, to understand. I would pray. I need more wisdom and understanding of who you are. I know that I barely have touched the tip of the iceberg. And Lord, I'm going to pray that over this church family right now, that they would know you more and better. Give them the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding as they seek your face in 2026. Let us start praying and believing that you are a God that answers prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.